Yeah, now we've got the quorum.
Okay.
We can start, members. The others must not join us. Let me firstly apologize, members. I will have load shedding at 6 o'clock. If the meeting is not finished, I will ask Member Maleka just to continue if we're not finished by 6. Because at 6 o'clock, I will have load shedding. Members, the agenda is in front of us. This meeting today, we will have the annual report briefing by SASSA, and then also by the National Development Agency. Let me take this opportunity to welcome all members present. The department, I don't know if the ministers or the DMs are here, but let me welcome them and also the officials of the two departments. It is our first committee meeting for this quarter, and I know that we are very busy in the NCLP. That's why the meeting has been changed to this afternoon. But in any case, members, let's interact with the reports. But let me first say welcome back to everybody. We had a long absence out of this meeting. We can't say we're having a long leave because we were working. But I'm looking forward to 2022, working with the members and the different departments so that we can really bring a change in the lives of our people in this country. So once again, welcome. I put the agenda in front of you, members, and I want you to adopt. If we can have a mover and a shaker for the adoption of the agenda. Okay, it is in Chubi and Dongeni. Can we accept it like that? Chubi proposed for the adoption of the agenda and Member Dongeni second. In order, Dongeni?
Chair.
Yes.
Chair. I agree.
Thank you, Member Dongeni. Marcel, can you give us the apologies in the meeting?
Good afternoon, Chairperson, honorable members, officials from the department. The only apology we received was from Mrs. Lahihe. She is on sick leave, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. And then I received a call from Member Chabaleng, who's got some personal difficulties. Maybe he will join us, but let's put him as an apology because he's got some issues that he must deal with. So is there no apologies from the department or from the ministers? If not, we can move to the next item. If SASSA is ready, they can now put the presentation on the screen so that we can listen to the presentation. Thank you.
Chair, good afternoon and good afternoon to members. I want to apologize and also raise an apology on behalf of the SASSA CEO, Ms. Memela Khambula, and as well as Ume Diane Dankele, They are part of a delegation that went to Namibia. So the SASSA team that is currently in the platform, it's led by myself. I am Zodwa Mvulane. I have been temporarily requested to be the leader of SASSA, so I am leading the delegation. I thank you, Chair, and SASSA is ready to do the presentation, and my colleague will then be doing the presentation on our behalf.
Thank you, Zodwa. Anything from the Minister and the CM? Nothing. Or are they also in Namibia?
No, the Minister is supposed to be attending, Chair. I will, on the sideline, check with her office and revert back to the Chair.
Thanks a lot, Zodwa. Okay.
Good afternoon, Chair. Apologies.
Yes.
My name is Thulani. I'm the PLO in the Ministry. I just want to extend Minister's apologies. She's delayed in another meeting, but she's going to join immediately once she's done. Apologies in order.
Thank you, Thulani. Apology accepted.
Thank you.
We know the Minister is very busy, but she always joins our meetings. So, Sasa, you can continue with your presentation. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, honorable members and colleagues. I will be presenting on behalf of SASSA. Chairperson, I just wanted to indicate that I have load shedding, so I have Mr. Siphozwane, who's my backup in case there's any challenge that we may experience as we do the presentation.
In order, you can continue as long as your backup will just come in. We all experiencing this load shedding problem. Thank you.
My presentation will give the context, will give an overview, will also reflect on the past 3 years of performance and the performance trends, and then from there we'll go into the detailed breakdown of the program performance, focusing on each and every individual indicator. And once I finish the program performance, the CFO will join to present the financial report. We have also included in our presentation the audit outcomes by the Auditor General in case the members have not had opportunity to engage with the AG. And the last part will be the recommendation. In terms of the purpose we are of the presentation is to brief the Select Committee on Health and Social Services on SASSA's 2021 annual report, the SASSA's performance against its set objective with the agency's performance plan was tabled, but we had to revise it. As members recall, we during the COVID, we have been requested to review our APPs. So we tabled our APPs twice. We had the first one that was tabled in March, and the second one was retabled in July. And from there, we also had the committee to note and support our budget and expenditure, and also to note the outcomes. Chairperson, because we are already in the middle of the new of the other financial year, almost at the end, some of the things will also update the committee in terms of where we are in terms of delivery. Our core business is to provide social assistance to eligible South Africans who are unable to support themselves and their dependents with the goal of alleviating poverty. This responsibility is aligned with the constitutional mandate that has been given to social development. During this reporting period, which is the 2021 reporting period, SASSA continued to consistently pay social grants to 18 million South Africans. And in addition, we had also the responsibility to deal with the new COVID grant applications. And this has also increased the number of the people that we service during this particular period. When we look at the overall support, income support that we have provided during this past financial year, it was unprecedented because throughout we've been working with 31% of the population. But with the introduction of the COVID grant, our beneficiaries increased to 41% of the population, which is something that I don't know we need to applaud or we need to be concerned as citizens. But at the same time, what we could say is that when the need was there for SASSA to provide services. We did manage to do our best to ensure that, and these payments were made on a monthly basis. We were also operating under different challenges in terms of the COVID grant, you know, the COVID virus. The situation was unprecedented. We had never worked in that space. And as we were dealing with the issue of the COVID pandemic, members would remember just before the COVID grant was, you know, before COVID was first declared in South Africa, already we were battling with the issues of high unemployment rates. So the issue of COVID just accelerated the challenges that we were facing as society. Most of our beneficiaries had to increase because of the unemployment rate, which increased to 32.5% in the fourth quarter. And thus, it increased the demand for services for SASSA in terms of the context that we are operating on. And when we look at the business processes that we are normally used to as SASSA, people come to our offices, they apply, we give them approval letter, then they go to pay points of payment to collect their grants. But with the COVID grant, we were, had to challenge ourselves to say, with this new grant and the numbers that we had to deal with, we had to immediately come up with a new systems that were agile, because we were having more numbers of people coming in terms of the demand, and our systems were too slow and we were too manual, and we could not afford to have as many people in the offices as previously we could deal with. But also more than anything other than the beneficiaries, also our staff were affected. During this period, certainly, we also lost a number of officials. And so we were faced with a situation where we need to provide services, but our staff also as members of the society were affected. And with the lockdowns and closing and opening of offices, it did have a different impact both on the staff and on the society that they were serving. As I've introduced, I'll just jump this slide, which just gives us what SASSA is about and the objective, which I believe members have already are familiar with. In terms of the program structures, SASSA has two programs. One is the administration, and the second one is the benefits administration and support. In administration, we focus on support services such as executive management, corporate services, information technology, financial management, internal audit and risk management, and the last one is strategy and business development. In most cases, the program one would not, under normal circumstances, be a big program. However, for SASSA, which is an operational institution which has to invest in technology, which has to take services to the people, the services in program one are also very critical in terms of ensuring that we deliver the work and we improve on the service delivery in terms of how we serve the nation. In program two, we have benefits administration, which deals with the application to approval processes. And in sub-program 2.2, it's payment administration. It's how we transfer disbursements to beneficiaries, which we do mainly through the banks as required in terms of Regulation 21A, and also through the SAPO, which is we do in terms of Regulation 21B. Over the past 3 years, our performance as an organization has remained consistent. We moved from a baseline where we were performing below 67% and we improved to 79% in 2018-19. We are striving to move out of the 74%. 2019-2020, we were still on 74% of achievement, and 2020-2021, we are still on 74%. We're hoping that in the coming year, we should see improvement moving into a better achievement so that we can show progress of as an organization. In terms of the targets that we had planned for the current reporting period, we had worked on 50%. We can comfortably say that 37 on 50 targets, and 37 were fully achieved, and the ones that were not fully achieved were constituted. The program for performance is detailed below. Program one is 72%. Program two is 78% of the achievements. Those targets that were not achieved, most of them you'll see when we start to unpacking is that it's not that more work was not done. We did a lot of significant amount of work, but we cannot claim achievement if something is not 100% achieved. And because some of our work is based on projections, so the achievements may not be that accurate. In terms of program one, it's 9 targets that they did not achieve, which constituted 28%, program two, 22%. When we come to achievements in relation to the outcomes that we have set for ourselves, under the outcomes that are aimed at reducing poverty levels in the society, we have been able to achieve 83%. We still young in terms of contributing to economic transformation. So our targets in this regard are still few, and those that we have set for ourselves, we were able to achieve 100%, and also those that in terms of customer experience, the targets that we had set were at 100%. In terms of organizational efficiencies, we were able to achieve 62%, and this is how we came to the 74%. This now, the next slide explains the targets that were not fully achieved. In terms of program two, which is benefits administration and support, which is the core business of SASSA, the one of the first projects that, or the first target that was not achieved was the one of providing a COVID grant to eligible beneficiaries. The target that we had set for ourselves was 100% to be paid of, and what we didn't do was the risk mitigation to understand that for you to pay, you should be having all the things in place. And come the end of March, we had challenges. National Treasury could not transfer the money, and we had to wait for approval for National Treasury. So in terms of the COVID grant, we achieved 87% in terms of payment, but in terms of processing, we had processed 100% of the applications, but we could not go ahead with payment for March without approval from Treasury because it was a new different allocation. In terms of the SRDs awarded to individuals and households in disastrous situations, the number that we had set, the target that we had set for the organization was 250,000. However, because the beneficiaries of the COVID grant are have the same criteria as that of the COVID-19, so most of these beneficiaries were supported through the COVID-19 grant. So only 191,558 were serviced, and mainly were those who were affected by disasters and those that were awaiting their application for social grants primarily. But however, there are those beneficiaries that we serviced before the just before the COVID grant kicked in. In terms of the children below the age of one in receipt of the child grant, the target we set was 580. We managed to achieve 550, which is above almost 87% of what we were set to achieve. The other target that we could not achieve under Program 2 was the issue of Regulation 26A mandates. These are the regulations that allow policy deductions from the grant beneficiaries. We managed to achieve 91% of these applications were processed electronically. However, the other ones that we did not achieve electronically were still processed, but the processing was done manually. In terms of administration program, what we did in terms of implementation of the audit action plan, we achieved 87% of the intervention. On irregular expenditure, we had set ourselves a 50% target. However, most of our irregular expenditure was historical, and the investigations and some of the cases are in court, and therefore they took longer to finish, but we will present them as we go into the financials just to indicate where we are. But I also, let me explain, on the new irregular expenditure, we have been able to reduce by more than 80%, but with historical, it was a major challenge. On social assistance debtors recovery, we had planned to recover or to write off 5%. We've been able to achieve 1.17%. However, in addition to that, more than 400 million was evaluated and submitted to National Treasury and Department of Social Development for write-off, and there was feedback that we needed to work on additional matters while they are finding other mechanisms. So had we managed to do the write-off, we would have been above 50% of our achievement, but we could not do it because of other challenges and availability of resources. Financial which are beyond the control of SASSA. In terms of financial misconduct cases, backlog cases, again, some of these backlog cases are related to the same irregular expenditure, the historical. So there's still backlog cases that we are dealing with, and we had planned to finalize 75%. We only achieved 75%. We had also planned to introduce organizational transformation in the organization, because as the organizations are evolving, it's important that we ensure that our business processes are aligned and the culture of the organization is also in line with the new changes and the new developments, and people understand the challenges of fraud and ethics. We were able to appoint the service providers. However, the appointments were late, but the work has already started in this financial year. And I can already indicate that change management and culture survey will be coming to the end by the end of this financial year. On the review of ACM policy to incorporate, among others, the issues of virtual operations, the policy was developed. However, the challenge was that it needed to be discussed with organized labor, and it has been going through the negotiation process, so we could not achieve it on time, but now it has since been completed. The next two slides are just explaining the issues that I have explained in terms of the reasons for non-performance. So now I will go into the detailed breakdown in terms of the progress that was achieved in the financial year. The first one, under outcome reduced levels of poverty. Our objective here was to provide social assistance to eligible older persons, people with disabilities, and children who are unable to support themselves. And the target was that in terms of take-up rates, we had estimated that we'll take 1.2 million social grants to be approved in the financial year. This target was exceeded. We managed to achieve 1.3, and members will note, because of the challenges, people losing employment, we found ourselves with unprecedented numbers of new applications that were joining the system, and we had to ensure that they are provided with support, those that qualified or that did not qualify for COVID grant, like those who were below 18 or those that were above 59. Continuing on the outcome of reduced levels of poverty, another area that we also wanted to ensure was that to ensure that the different categories of beneficiaries that we service are always achieved. And so if possible, we need to move them below the to be achieved the lower bound poverty lines. In this particular case, we were planning to move from 18.29 million beneficiaries to 18.6. We've managed to achieve 18.4, which is about 98% of achievement. And this is in relation to different grants that have been broken down. And of the grants that we have been able to give, 75% were to women, 32% were to young people, and 9% were to people with disabilities. On the exclusion errors for children below one, I've already indicated that nationally we realize that we are providing grants at least to children, for children to at least between 65% and 70%. However, when we go to children below the ages of one, we've been sitting on 30% because of the exclusion rate, exclusion clauses or the administrative blockages. We went all out to remove that, and by end of March, we were sitting at 48.17. Our target is that by the end of the MTSF, at least 70% of qualifying eligible children are below the age of one receive the grant. On the COVID-19, here we are talking of interventions that were to provide temporary relief to persons experiencing crisis or disaster. The first measure that we implemented under COVID-19 interventions were the top-up of social grants. The first one was the 300 per child, and also which subsequent was only offered for May. And subsequent to that, it was the 500, additional 500 per caregiver, and the 250 for old age grant, war veteran disability grant, foster care, and care dependency grant. The implementation of this particular grant or the top-ups were implemented from May to October 2020 and were successfully implemented, and approximately 30 million was spent on this top-up for payments or disbursement directly to the existing beneficiaries. And the table just gives us a breakdown of per month how much have we given, how many beneficiaries have benefited from the top-ups. In terms of the COVID-19 SRD grant, which is the normally called the 350 grant, in this particular case, overall, we've managed to approve 62 million cumulative applications between the period of May and March 2021, May 2020 and March 2021. However, in terms of disbursements, as I indicated earlier, the disbursements of March were delayed because we still needed to get additional approval. If members may remember, we used to get the extensions per period, and the last extension was only announced in January, and therefore the transfers of money, were there was a little bit of delay in terms of the transfers of money and the approval for utilization. However, those monies were paid by the second week of April to the outstanding beneficiaries, except those who had problems with accounts or need some kind of validation. In terms of the other measures that we implemented on the COVID relief measures, one of the measures that we introduced was that once we received, okay, this one just gives the breakdown in terms of the COVID grant. So I was going to talk to the additional measures that we had to implement during COVID-19, particularly during the hard lockdown. People could not visit the offices to extend the temporary disability grant and the care dependency grant. And as such, we had to ensure that in the regulations, we extend these two grants and all those the care dependency grants beneficiaries from February until November were extended, and the total for care dependency was 11,000, whereas for temporary disability grant, it was 207,208 that we extended from February to December so that people didn't have to queue. Although we did experience the challenge in December when the lapsing had to happen because now we had to deal with all the high number of people now visiting the offices, I can now tell the committee that we have since dealt with the challenge and all the people that are qualified were approved and given their money as they qualify. On the SRD application that were out to be awarded, as I indicated earlier, we achieved 191,558 SRD awards, which was mainly the people affected by disasters and those that had could not get their grants approved on time, which were approved but could not be paid on time. So those were mainly the grants that we awarded. The others qualified for the COVID-19 and therefore were serviced through that. However, before the actual rollout, there were also the cash food parcels and the cash disbursements and the uniform that we did. But if you compare it to other years, you'll see that the scale was not the same compared to what we have done previously. We have also provided a breakdown of all the SRT awards per program, per province. The next one was that as an agency, we had always committed that we want to ensure that whatever we do, we want to ensure that we support the SMMEs and the cooperatives, in particularly in respect of the SRD grant. In this particular case, we have been able to ensure that 46% of the allocated SRD money was spent on cooperatives and small businesses in the country. We have again provided the breakdown in terms of the budget and what was the rent value and what was the actual amount that was paid to the cooperatives and also the percentages that it represents. The next target is around the issue around social grants. We need to ensure that we pay the social grants to the right person at the right time. In this particular case, we measure the transfers that we do into the normal grant into the account of the beneficiaries, including those of SAPO. In this particular case, we've managed to pay 18 million social grants, approximately to 11.3 million recipients on monthly basis for the period between 1 April to 31 March 2021. Overall, the successful transactions, 99% of the transactions that we processed were successful, and those that were not successful, you would find that either the bank had suspended the account or maybe the beneficiary died during the course of that particular month, but those were very small. So we have been able to achieve the target that we had set for ourselves for successful processing of the payments of social grants. The other responsibility that we sit with, which continuously become is an issue of challenge and growth, has its us the relationship between SASSA and SAPO. We have also ensured that we monitor the service level agreements and ensure compliance and management, and also work with SAPO to improve, to make improvements on the areas where there was non-compliance. Across all the 11 regions, 11 sites were reported. Out of the 1,630 pay points, 11 sites were reported to have had instability with the payment system, which we they call integrated government payment system, and only 6 beneficiaries were rescheduled, specifically in the Eastern Cape, and these beneficiaries were subsequently paid later. Overall, again, on the pay point side, 31 pay points, which is 2%, were rescheduled, either because of the stabilization of the payment system, or sometimes you'll find that there was fraud that happened, not fraud, robberies that would have happened along the way. A number of sub outlets that were found without chairs, we have given the breakdown of where we established and the engagements that we have had with SAPO. In addition to that, we ended up issuing some penalties for non-compliance to SAPO to the value of approximately 17 million. On the social grant, again, when COVID-19 came, we had already started in the engagement to start to spread the days in terms of where we how we pay social grants. But with the COVID-19, we had to fasten the discussion and the negotiations with the payment sector. And we ended up coming up with a staggering of payment days where we separated the payment of older persons from the payments of children and the payments of people with disabilities. Overall, now the payment days for older persons has been stabilized on the 3rd day of the month, for disability grants on the 4th day, and for children's grants on the 5th day. So all this is applicable across the country and has helped severely to ensure that older persons were not standing in the same queues as younger people and sometimes being pushed out of the line. And most of the days, this has helped to ease the pressure in the payment environment. In terms of improving customer experience, here we managing the turnaround in terms of how we deal with inquiries and how we respond to beneficiaries, and also how we process the time it takes for us to process the applications. In terms of inquiries that were resolved within 21 days, here we have managed to achieve 93%, out which is 300,511 out of 320,000 inquiries. All those were resolved within 21 days. We've also provided the provincial breakdown that just to show where the challenges were. In terms of the disputes that were resolved within 21 days, again, we've managed to achieve 80.82. The target was to achieve 60% to ensure that 60% of the disputes are resolved within 21 days. We have been able to achieve 59 out of the 73 disputes that we received. In terms of the new grant application, we had set our target that all new grants will be processed within less than 10 days. As you can see, 99% of the applications were processed within 99 days, and you will see that this performance is consistent across all the province. Hence, we have now reviewed this target to reduce it now to 5 days. We've also implemented the SASSA norms and standards for payment. We have reviewed them to look into the latest developments in terms of how we deliver social assistance. We have also to come with the digitization of the funeral policies. This has helped to ease the lines in the offices, in the sense that some people would be coming to the offices to ask us to facilitate the funeral policies deduction. Now that it's automated, it has had a relief in terms of how we process and support beneficiaries who may want to implement, who may want Regulation 26A implemented against their grants. In terms of Program 1, the performance on Program 1, which is the support structure, the APP was developed, the annual report was presented, and all of them were presented on time, even including the revised APP, was presented in terms of the revised schedules. In terms of the unqualified audit outcome, we have planned that we are planning to work on receiving an unqualified audit outcome. This we have also managed to achieve, although there were few matters of that arose from the AG, which will be shared later in the presentation. And then on the audit action plan, as I indicated that we achieved 89%, the outstanding interventions were on the social assistance service fees. There was still work that was done in terms of the bank charges for March not accrued. There was also the issue of inadequate vetting of servers, the foster care electronic system, and also the outstanding cases of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. On the irregular expenditure, I've already indicated that we only managed to achieve 12% when we look into the backlog. However, on the current, the achievement was above 80%. On the average cost, we have also been able to reduce the cost of servicing beneficiaries from 38 to 32 rand per beneficiary, and the administration cost. And internationally, the acceptable norm is 5%. SASSA is implementing, working on 3.17%. And in terms of our eligible suppliers, we have always committed to ensure that all eligible suppliers, 95% of eligible suppliers, are paid within 30 days. As you can see, out of the 2,780 eligible suppliers, only one was not paid within 30 days. Others, 99.9%, were paid within 30 days. And then on the social assistance data, I've already reported that we could not do the full recovery, but we did manage to send information for write-off. And if it gets written off this year, it will significantly improve the debtors book that we're sitting with as SASSA. On the financial misconduct cases, in terms of the current, we received 67 cases and 66 were finalized, which represent 99% achievement. However, we still have a challenge with the backlog, which we are working on. Out of the 1,228 financial misconduct cases on the backlog, we have only been able to achieve 35% instead of 75%. We also had to deal with labor relation cases, and 67% of the labor relation cases were finalized. These cases were done within the normal period as required. So it was 100, we had 221, we were able to finalize 148 in the current financial year. And then the others were carried over into the next financial year. We have also summarized the sanctions that were implemented in relation to the cases that were finalized. You'll see we have written warnings, final written warning, suspension, dismissals. We also have counseling, and we have also had people who have resigned and those that have referred to law enforcement cases. In terms of the organizational transformation, we conducted skills audit for general managers and executives, and also developed a skills development program for this category, which we started implementing in this new current financial year. We have also managed to approve the change management tender, which we implemented in the current financial year. We have also managed to approve the tender for the BPR, which we are currently implementing. However, the target was by the end of the financial year, we should have started with the SE assessment, but we could not do that because of the delays in the procurement process, particularly during the hard lockdown, that we are not able to circulate paper and have most people meeting regularly. On the review advice policy on ACM, I've already indicated that we finalized the draft. However, the negotiation with labor took longer than expected. In terms of ICT strategy, we have also been able to review our ICT strategy and ensure alignment, and we have implemented the following projects. We initiated the new online grant application in addition to the COVID-19 grant. We introduced the online grant application and it was piloted. And we came with smart reviews for social grants beneficiaries. We improved the bank account verification. We improved system for grant payment. We've also done the issue of biometric identity access management system for SOCPEN users and beneficiaries. The technology was developed, but we've rolled out on the users, and the beneficiaries were suspended because of the COVID-19 challenges. Interface with payment partners, a number of application processing systems were developed in order to facilitate payment interface with different partners. Electronic fraud detection system is being developed. The call center solution for modernization has been conceptualized, and the customer care survey system is also built into our new system that we are implementing. So I've already indicated on the biometric identity asset management that it's already being implemented across the country in the different regions. We have experienced some challenges in terms of the volume and the downtime, but the people in CETA and people in IT are busy dealing with those challenges that have slowed down the process. In terms of the grant beneficiaries, we have referred 572,878 grant beneficiaries to MEFSA and for financial assistance. We've also developed the scanning solution, which was deployed in 284 local offices. Staff were trained on that. So this will, in the long term, help us to remove the big records management centers where we are keeping lots and lots of files as we move into the automation process. On the online grant application solution developed, as I indicated, we have already done the grant online and piloted it for child support grant, foster care, and old age grant. And these were the numbers that we have been able to process in the financial system in the past financial year. We also have a challenge that our social grant system is currently being processed on a legacy system that is called SOCPEN. So we need to move to new technologies, and COVID-19 showed us that the agility of the legacy system cannot be relied upon. So now we are working on migrating from the legacy system. We have developed the business case, we have costed it, and we have requested for funding, which is this project will be implemented over a period of 2 years, 2 to 3 years. So, again, still continuing on digitization, I've already confirmed that we have done application program interfaces. We've also introduced the application channels through SRD. For the first time, people could apply through WhatsApp, through USSD, telephone, and website, which are things that we never thought were coming soon. So we have gone a long way in terms of the lessons that we have learned from the COVID-19, which we believe going forward, they will help SASSA to be a modern and agile organization. In terms of the fraud cases, we received 292 fraud and corruption cases that were investigated and finalized, and we managed to finalize 90% of those, and the target was to deal with 50%. This target is low because of COVID-19 when offices were closed. When we revised the APP, we had to take it down. It's not that we wanted to underperform. We also, in addition to the investigation, we went ahead and said, we cannot only wait until there's a problem, we have to do some detection. And through the detection processes, we've been able to identify support of employees who were found to be on SOCPEN, and those that did not qualify were suspended. We've been also being able to find beneficiaries that transacted outside the borders of South Africa. We've also been able to deal with correctional services inmates. We've also been able to deal with 3 million COVID grant applications who applied but did not qualify. These were proactively identified by SASSA, and this led to a saving of 12 billion for the fiscal. On internal audit, we also conducted 16 internal audit reviews instead of 15, and we have just listed the internal audit reviews that were conducted, and management was briefed, and where necessary, appropriate action was taken where there was issues of non-compliance. On communication, we continue to invest on education programs that are benefiting beneficiaries. And in this regard, the major emphasis had been on the COVID-19 grant COVID-19 pandemic issues and the impact on beneficiaries being able to apply for grants, the issue around financial literacy, and also continuing with the messages around anti-fraud. 2,103 programs were implemented in this regard. And there were also programs that were aimed at improving and empowering staff, so including virtual and electronic and print communication. Here in this case, we worked on 654 programs that we implemented countrywide. I will now hand over to the CFO to start on the financial performance. CFO, are you in?
Yes, I am in. Good evening, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will just take the committee on the financial part of the side of this performance. This slide, Honorable Chair, depicts the final allocation for SASSA for the year under review. You will note that there is a 4% underspending. The final allocation after adjustment was 7.4 billion, and we spent 7.2 billion with just around 268 million underspending. Item of note, I think we are indicating here that the COE, composition of employees, underspent by 4%. And goods and services was for 6%, yet transfers was overspending by 6%. We did give a footnote for the committee to note that the overspending under the transfers was primarily because we have paid the leave gratuity for officials that left the agency on early retirement, which was part of the process of reduction of the composition of employees within government. Next slide, please. If I could just get the next slide. Yes, thank you very much. SASSA only operate through two programs, Program 1, which is administration, and Program 2, which is benefit administration. Honorable members will note that the highest underspending was on Program 1, which is administration, as depicted, which is just breaking the 7.4 billion spending. Next slide, please. This slide, Honorable Chair, is just indicating the sub-programs that are run within SASSA. The regions will fit in any of these branches. This indicates from the highest spending, which is ICT, going to the lowest spending, which is internal audit and risk management. I think of note here, Chair, it's important that we indicate that the bulk of the underspending under internal audit has to do with the fraud management unit, where we've installed the activities around this department. Next slide. Just to summarize and contextualize what we dealt with in terms of this resourcing in 2020-2021, at the commencement of the financial year, we were faced with a lockdown where the country was affected by the state of disaster. And we were required during that time, which is the first quarter, just to start to reprioritize to deal with the pandemic. SASSA did not get any additional funding for the year under review. So we had to readjust the plans, review the APP, and also reprioritize funding to make funds available for the PPEs, and also to make funding for the decontamination of offices, just to deal with the pandemic, the COVID-19 virus within the workplace. But we also note that there was changes in the way that business was run, means that the way of working was not normal as we would do in the previous year, that staff needed to spend time working remotely, and some of the staff would have to come to the offices. So there were changes. But of significance also, Honorable Chair, was that there was a reduction on the SASSA baseline for the year under review by 230 million, because Treasury wanted additional funding just to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. The emergence of the pandemic and the impact on some of the items allowed SASSA to move funding from low spending items to where the funds were required. So there was a lot of reprioritization that happened during the first quarter and the second quarter, and monitoring the expenditure in the third and the fourth quarter. Next slide, please. Just to indicate, under the compensation of employees, Honorable Chair, there was a slow movement in terms of recruiting some of the positions that we thought that would be able to conclude the filling of the vacancies, because we knew that the advertisement and also the interviews and the working changed from the normal to the new normal. But also, we at the time, the salary adjustments, which is the cost of living adjustment for salary level 1 and to 12, at the time was not implemented, which was the final leg of the agreement with organized labor. I think the matter was only finalized now during the 21-22. So this impacted on the spending on the COE. But further than that, we also had a contingent liability that we needed to really make sure that we address it, which was linked primarily with the issues of labor, where the level 9 and the level 11 wanted to be moved from those levels to level 10 and level 12. And this is the matter that was recorded as part of the contingent liability for the year under review. Next slide, please. As I've already given a context of this, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that the rest of the items that were heavily affected by the pandemic was the communication, and we moved a significant amount, 20% of the budget, to reprioritize it to the areas where we needed, the areas of fleet management, we moved funding from. We also moved money from maintenance and repairs, and we moved money from traveling because of the lockdown. Then people were not traveling and officials were no longer traveling as one would have envisaged. And the training and staff development did not happen as we planned because there were a lot of changes. Either the staffing will not be available, some they tested positive for COVID-19, and some of the training that were to be implemented, some of them were physical. But now when it changed, then it was changes in the organizations that were running those trainings. But also in terms of the gatherings and the meetings that we thought that we're going to do face-to-face, that was changed. And we have to move some of the funding to cover the areas where there was projected overspending on the resources. Next slide, please. The next slide. The next slide. Honorable Chair, and maybe if I can have the next slide, which deals with the consultants.
Apologies, CFO. Please load from your side. My battery is going off.
Apologies, Honorable Chair.
I can try and load from this side here. Is that okay?
Okay, Mr. Zani.
Oh, David is there now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I did manage. Thank you very much, Mr. Zani.
All right.
Okay, apologies, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I was dealing with the slide number 50 that deals with the consultants, and the consultants here, largely the better part of this consultant fees has to do with the funding that we use for the anti-fraud strategies. The bulk of the money is normally used in that area, and the bulk of the budget was linked with the SIU, but also with the way we run the issue of the anti-fraud function. The anti-fraud function currently within SASA is insourced. We have started building enough capacity around this area just to work and link with the law enforcement agencies. And the underspending largely because there was work that was supposed to be done by SIU, and at the time, they have not concluded that. I think the EM, has already indicated that there were some of the projects that were already part of the procurement process, which were only concluded during the year 2021-22. These are the lists that she has already spoken about. But also, we had the issue of security and cleaning tenders. The bulk of the tenders were only concluded during the 2021-22. So the security tender, which was advertised during the reporting period, was not awarded, was extended. So we have already made an adjustment of 5% just to cater for the CPIX increase. But because we could not conclude the procurement process, that additional 5%, we could not spend on it. But I can indicate now, Honorable Chair, that we have since managed to conclude the procurement of the security contract, except for one province, which is Limpopo province, which they are currently under evaluation and adjudication stage. But we are running on an extended contract approved by National Treasury. The last part was the lease portfolio that we had, some of the leases that we needed to conclude procurement. But because SASA as an entity is using the National Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, some of the procurement process were not concluded from that side. So that's why we had an underspending on the lease portfolio. The slide that I've already projected, Chair, is just to give the honorable members the financial health of the agency. So when we close the year 2020-21, we close with a bank balance of 2 billion. We did declare a 1.1 billion retain surplus for the year, and Treasury approved that we can retain 439 million. The 663 million was subsequently surrendered to Treasury and back to the fiscal. So this is just to indicate in terms of the movement. Then I need just to share with the honorable members on the audit outcomes quickly without taking much time. The audit for SASA, Honorable Chair, was delayed for the year under review. The audit outcome was only issued at the end of September instead of the end of July. But the audit outcome, as already reported during the performance information reporting, we did receive an unqualified audit opinion. However, there was a material adjustment within the predetermined objectives. The area of concern was largely because we reported 1.3 million of grants which were approved against the target of 1.2. And AG on their audit, they did indicate that there was a difference, which is the underreporting of 39,000, which was the issue why AG has made concern about it. And I'm just going to speak about it when I come to one slide which summarizes everything that of the audit of the year 2020-2021. This slide 65, Honorable Chair, was only to give the dashboard in terms of the audit outcomes. I think of note, you could see that under the risk area, you will see that at least what we would have been the major risk for the year was the quality of submitted performance information because of that one indicator and the adjustment that we've made. But the rest seem to be good in terms of the governance. but then the agency said that we should be able to have around the oversight responsibility. We did give the next slide just to a snapshot of 1920 so that honorable members can compare what was the dashboard for the year 1920 and the dashboard for the year 2020-2021 in terms of the audit outcome. We felt that it's important that we at least address the committee on the issue of the irregular expenditure. This slide indicates the opening balance of the irregular expenditure that SASSA opened the year with 1.2 billion of irregular expenditure, which is irregular expenditure that was incurred in the previous years, but which was carried forward because we have not concluded the process of investigation, implementing consequence management, and also the issue of getting condonation where it need be from National Treasury. But of significance, you will see that in the year under review, 20 million represent the transactions that were started and concluded in the year, in the reporting period. The rest of the other initial additional transactions that makes up the 73 million of regular expenditure, which is additional, was coming from the previous year, especially the bulk of it is the expired leases that we were dealing with. So we closed the year with 1.1 billion of regular expenditure. This slide, Honorable Chair and members, just only give the summary of what represent the additional irregular expenditure in terms of the 26 million, with the bulk of it being the cleaning and sanitation contracts that were affected in two regions where the AG did indicate an internal audit found the breakup procurement that instead of actually awarding the tender in one, we broke it in terms of the district. And that is the material part of the irregular expenditure. This slide, Chair, give a summary for members just to contextualize what were the root causes of the areas that we need to work very hard around. Number one area is the expenditure management, which is the issue of the prevention of irregular expenditure in current of the 73 million of irregular expenditure. And we're just giving the summary of it, which is the current expired leases. I think the leases we currently struggling with because we depend on the Department of Public Works, but also SASSA in other instances did not extend the leases as required timeously. And that's the essence. The dependency on public works, I've already spoken about it, but there was also a breakup procurement in the two regions, but also there were issues of state of disaster where you find that a lot of instruction notes were issued by National Treasury and repealed at different times, and that necessitated some of the gaps and the risks that we dealt with. And what we're committing to is we're committing that the immovable property management policy procedures and delegations will be reviewed accordingly. But we're also engaging the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure and National Treasury on the expired leases, which is a strategy that we have developed currently, and we're engaging those two departments for assistance. We're also finalizing the disciplinary corrective measures to hold accountable any other person within SASSA that could not have done what was required. Number two, it has to do with the contract management, which is the issue of it, that there is no effective control in management of the contract. And this came as a result that we saw that there has been a breakup procurement and there was a risk of the state of disaster and also the interpretation of the instruction notes that were issued by Treasury, but also the reporting to DTI that if ever then there is any procurement that involves local content, then you need to report that to DTI within 10 days. What we are putting and we're putting process is the process of irregular expenditure framework, which was issued in 2019. It's fully being implemented by the agency. But also, we were very, very comforted that the instruction note number 11 of 2021 did indicate that the issues relating to COVID-19 are no longer regarded as the issues relating to a disaster or emergency procurement. Then we resorted back to the normal process of procurement. But we also had to do a post audit of the transactions that were done between April to the 30th of September 2021. This transaction we needed to confirm that indeed were actually done within the agency following the due processes. And I can confirm that the identified irregular expenditure to date is very minimal. Actually, it was about 3 million, which was the new cases that we could find. And then we have done the training, Honorable Chair, for all executive committee members. And now we're rolling the training for the BAC, bid adjudication committee members, and those that serve in the region in procurement structure. And I can indicate that Treasury came to train us, both at the head office and the region. And that was run by head office. And that was concluded. We have reviewed the SCM policy and the standard operating procedures within the agency just to mitigate any risk of irregular expenditure. The last one is the issue of the performance information management, which is the area that I've already indicated that was the area that the AG was worried about, where we have reported, underreported in terms of the grants that were approved for the year. And this was made because of the system error, where you find that the system did not count the any work that was done on the last day of the month. If the last day of the month was the midweek, the system did not recognize that last day. And that made the discrepancy of that underreporting that we did. But we can confirm to the committee that the system has been adjusted accordingly. So it is no longer an issue. We do request the select committee to note and support the annual performance report, the annual financial statements for 2020-2021, and also to take note of the 2020-2021 audit outcomes. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Sasa, for the presentation. Sotwa, are you here? I've allowed a few minutes for the CFO to finish. The minister is not on the platform yet. Sotwa?
Thank you very much for allowing us and giving us more time. I think we are done with our presentation. We can then await any clarity seeking issues and or questions coming from your side, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, so what we will do is we will first give the other presenter a chance to give as the presentation, and then I will open it up for discussion and question. And we have the other presentation.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Ben.
Yeah. Yes, it's me, Ben Murule. Thank you, Chair. May I request to be given a screen sharing right? Because it currently says this host disabled attendees screen sharing rights.
Okay, Marcel, can you guys sort that out?
Okay, let
That's
me.
So true, thank you.
Okay.
Is the presentation visible on your side, Chair and members?
Yeah.
Yes, we can see.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me just. Okay, thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, members. My name is Ben Murule, and I'm going to be making the presentation of the annual report for 2021. And the presentation will cover the program performance information, which forms part of Part B of the annual report itself, And the two other sections that will be presented in this meeting will be the annual financial statements for the year ended March 31, 2021, which is part E, and the audit outcomes for the 2021 financial year. I think just by way of background and to give a contextual analysis to the members, and the members would be fully aware that in the 2021 financial year, this is the year that ushered COVID into the entire globe. And as a result, NDA had to ensure that the plans that we had already submitted by 31st of March are revised so that we align ourselves with the reality of the lockdown restrictions that were the order of the day, I think beginning of March into June, where we experienced lockdown level 5 restrictions. So the NDA, much like all other government departments and SASSA as well, had to revise its APP from what was initially submitted on the 31st of March. The revision of the APP was primarily to ensure that the targets are focusing, or rather the KPIs and targets are focusing on the COVID-related programming, so that we can combat the effects of COVID on society in general, and particularly our service beneficiaries. But at the same time, we took that opportunity to reduce our target and to refine some of the targets to improve their measurability. We introduced in the 2021 financial year, as an effort by NDA, you know, to fight COVID, the volunteer program. And the volunteer program primarily focused on efforts in many poor communities of advancing knowledge around COVID, distribution of food parcels, and even queue management in SASSA pay points as well. We also implemented the CARA program, which was aimed at fighting the scourge of gender-based violence and femicide. We funded 312 CSOs to the value of 85.6 million, where at the height of COVID, they implemented GBVF-based programs just to combat the, which was beginning to rear its, I think, its ugly head as a second pandemic as such. We also implemented, just as a performance highlight, members, the hybrid model in capacity building, where primarily because of lockdown restrictions, our face-to-face engagement or our in-person engagements were far too limited, and therefore we had to introduce a hybrid model, particularly focusing on ensuring that we are able to reach some of the CSOs with specific capacity building interventions that we provide as NDA. So the focus on, or rather the attainment that we have, which is I think about 1,114 CSOs that were trained, was largely because we moved towards hybrid. Had it been confined only to face to face, we would not have been able to achieve the performance that we did achieve. We collaborated with a range of stakeholders across the country to render integrated development interventions for the benefit of a number of communities and CSOs. This relates to specific initiatives that we undertook as NDA in finding partners, almost in the mode of the district development model, where we partner together with community stakeholders and district development partners in making sure that we advance services and development interventions to specific communities. We undertook research in the air under review, which resulted in dialogues in keeping with our secondary mandate. The 2021 audit outcome for the NDA reflects an improvement from the 1920 audit outcome as it relates to performance information, to detection of instances of non-compliance, and there were no material instances of non-compliance with SCM legislation. Over the past 3 years, NDA has achieved an unqualified opinion with findings, and the AG has not identified any material findings on the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information for Program 2. Program 2 is the specific program which was subjected to intense audit by the AG. These are just the pictures of the CSOs that we supported in the 2021 financial year. The CSO is based in Western Cape, and we supported them in establishing a hair studio. And this is just a picture that relates to the campaign that we ran against GBV and femicide in the Eastern Cape. The other performance highlights, I think, just to dig a bit deeper on the volunteer program, we were able to deploy about 2,049 volunteers across all provinces. These were mainly young youth volunteers who participated in the program that focused on COVID-19 advocacy and ways to reduce transmission of the virus. Members should bear in mind that at the point when this program was rolled out, it was early April, or rather early May, when there was not much information about COVID-19. And our youth volunteers, 2,049 of them, they hit the ground to distribute information on COVID-19 and to combat the spread of the virus. As well, the program focused on distribution of food parcels to vulnerable community members.
Sorry, the slide is not moving on the screen.
As it's moving on my side. I'm on slide 6.
On slide 1.
Oh, I'm on slide 6, actually.
Maybe something went wrong with the
technique. Yeah. I don't know. Let me try to reshare, Chair. I think let me try to reshare, and hopefully it will.
There we are now on slide 6.
Okay. It means that I wouldn't put it on presentation mode then, just so that we make progress here.
You can continue then.
Okay, I'm hoping that it's visible in the mode that it's in.
It's not.
It's not. Okay, let me. Is it now showing members? Is it a bit better? And on so slide 6.
It is on slide 6, but it is very faint.
Okay, may I request, I think, for the sake
it's
of
not
time.
Not on slide mode.
Is it better now?
No, it's still the same. It's not coming. Maybe you can reshare it.
Okay, let me just try to reshare it then. Hoping that it would be better. Okay, I'm gonna stop sharing and re-upload it, members. I have re-uploaded it. Can members see it?
Yeah, but it's on the same mode. It's not on presentation.
Okay. Chair, how do you propose we proceed? I would have suggested that given that we have sent the presentation, we could rely on the presentations that we send while I continue with this presentation.
Okay, just continue.
Yes, unless it is... Okay, thank you, Chair. I was on slide 6, explaining the impact of the volunteer program on the ground. One other area of focus was to support the elderly and disabled persons, in particularly in relation to queues at SASSA, which can be long, in SASSA payments, which can be long. The other area, I think when the SRD grant was introduced, there were a number of, I think obviously the elderly that need the, not the elderly, the perhaps less in education that had to be assisted in application processes. So a number of them were assisted by NDA youth volunteers in this regard. At 32 million budget reprioritized by the board, you know, from different areas. So part of the revision exercise of the NDA was to look at the indicators that could, you know, just to scale them down, but also to redirect a budget, in other words, to reprioritize budget towards the volunteer program. So it funded the PPE for volunteers, and we paid volunteer stipends, and we also paid CSO management fees for administration of the volunteer program itself, and monitoring of the volunteers as they do the work that they were brought in to do. The volunteer program reached and interacted with over 211,000 households. They distributed 73,000 food parcels to vulnerable households, and they assisted 171,000 people to apply for SRD grant, and also the Department of Agriculture Disaster Relief Fund for small-scale farmers. 5.9 million worth of PPE for staff and volunteers participating in the NDA-funded volunteer program. Of the 5.9 million on PPE, 1.5 million was spent on direct procurement from 23 co-ops operating across the country, and 5.2 million was procured from emerging micro enterprises, and 2.3 million from youth-owned businesses. I'm now on slide 7, just to give an update on the non-achieved deliverables. We undertook a process of identifying, determining historical, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure for condonement by National Treasury. And by the end of that financial year, we had submitted a request for condonation to the value of 96.1 million, which request had been declined. There has since been significant progress, I think, in this current financial year. We engaged further with National Treasury request, and they requested further submission of other documentation. And such documentation has been submitted, and we are awaiting a decision from National Treasury on the same 96.1 million that we had earlier submitted. In relation to consequence management, we could not attain this primarily due to lack of capacity in HR and legal units. There was some level of progress, but the overall target of 80% of consequence management could not be achieved. We undertook the turnaround strategy, at least the initiation of that process of development of the turnaround strategy in the 2021 financial year. And by the end of the financial year, we could only procure the services of a service provider. So we appointed a service provider to assist us in the turnaround strategy process. And to date, I think there has been significant progress made in the sense that we have a draft turnaround strategy. There's been a number of engagements with the various stakeholders internally and externally to just shape the turnaround strategy. It also included the brand strategy. So where we are, we currently have a draft turnaround strategy and a draft brand strategy for the NDA, which in due time will be presented to the select committee. We had a target of 100 million on mobilization of resources to fund CSO development interventions, and we did not achieve this. And this was largely because of the economy having suffered, I think, the COVID-19 blow. We could not make good on our target of 100 million. I think at this point we're sitting at close to 20 million in the third quarter of this current financial year. We're sitting at close to 20 million of attainment of the revised 20 million target, revised from 100 million as a result of COVID. We in relation to income generation for CSOs, this has been we are now giving focus to this on our own operational plan. But we have already raised, I think by the time we reported, concluded the annual report, 4.5 million businesses had been linked to, to a number of business opportunities. But this is one area that we did not achieve in the 2021 financial year. I'm going to go now into slide 9, which shows a summary of the organizational performance. Our performance for the last 3 years, going back to 18-19, we were at 50%, and went at 64% by 2019-20. And we stabilized, I think, for the 2021, where we are still at 63%. Our organizational performance, in other words, we have 37% of targets that we had set for ourselves for the 2021 financial year that we did not achieve. And we also give a breakdown of the program performance, where program one could not achieve 29% of its set targets. Program 2, 71 of its set targets were achieved, and Program 3 achieved 100% of its set targets. Now I'm going to go into the specific programs. I'm on slide 10 now, starting with Program 1, which is Governance and Administration. The first indicator deals with implementation of consequence management in relation to irregular, fruitless, and wasteful cases. And our target was to have 80% of these cases having been taken through a consequence management process. And we could only attain 64%, which is made up of about 57 cases that were at various stages of implementation. Some were at investigation, a disciplinary process, debt recovery, and debt write-off process. So we fell short of achieving the 80% target, with all of these being at different levels of implementation. And we have since, I think through our operational plan, we are monitoring the performance against these particular cases, having looked at a number of systems and internal control measures that we must put in place to combat irregular expenditure at where it has happened, to ensure that there's proper implementation of consequence management. But this target members we did not achieve. The next target is on the reduction of cumulative balance of IFW expenditure. This relates to the 96.1 million that I spoke to earlier, where we had already made a submission to National Treasury requesting condonation of that 96.1 million. By the end of the financial year, as I said, Treasury had declined, as a matter of fact, our request for condonation. But they've reconsidered our request and requested a number of documents to be sent to them, which we usually did in February, and we are awaiting feedback on this, which we will report on, because this is in the APP, in the 21-22 APP. So we will be reporting on this as far as our process and how far we have gone in reducing cumulative balance of IFW expenditure. In the next slide, on slide 11, the third KPI is on compliance to NDA preferential procurement policy. We have duly achieved this. The target was to achieve 100% of such level of compliance. We have achieved this. So we're fully implemented our own SCM policy and the preferential procurement policy and the 2017 triple PFA regulations insofar as procuring from preferential groups. and 100% of this compliance level. So this is spread across youth-based enterprises, women-led enterprises, and enterprises in the rural and township locations. So I think this has been fully achieved. We are sitting at 100%. The next indicator is on the amendment of the NDA Act. We were able to produce a position document on the NDA Act, and this document primarily focused on the aspects of the Act that need to change in alignment with the PFMA number one, but two, and very important, is the areas of the Act that were seen having implemented the Act over a period of about just close to 20 years or so. The other areas that we deem to be stifling or creating bottlenecks in service delivery. So we have identified those and put them in the position document, which has subsequently been submitted to DSD, because the competency to revise the Act and to flow with that particular process from public engagement to parliamentary consideration of that process and final enactment of the Act resides totally with DSD. So, but we support this process through the position document that we have supplied to them. We did not achieve this in the sense that it was meant to be approved by the board, but the board decided that it should be aligned to the NDA turnaround strategy, which was a focus in the 21-22 financial year. So further areas of enhancement and improvement in the Act will be identified in the finalization of the turnaround strategy, and will then be will form part of that position document as an input from NDA towards the revision of the Act. In the next slide, I'm on slide 12, the approved NDA turnaround strategy. We were able to produce a concept document for the turnaround strategy, which was presented to the board and approved. There has been, as I said earlier, progress made in relation to the implementation of this KPI, because it was carried over to the 21-22 financial year. We have now the draft strategy in place, which introduces a new business model for the NDA, a new operating model for the NDA, and it also proposes a branding approach to the NDA, how NDA can rebrand itself in this repositioning exercise so that it becomes a premier development agency that it ought to be. The next indicator is on the approved employee climate survey framework, and this framework was duly developed, presented to EFSCO, and approved accordingly. So it's a framework that serves as a basis for assessment of the organizational culture and to assess productivity and utilization of employees, productive utilization of employees in the NDA. The next indicator relates to the approved brand strategy, which is the last indicator in program one. And I've already spoken to this when I was speaking to the turnaround strategy. We have now a draft brand strategy, which proposes the total rebranding of the NDA and focusing on brand identity, brand positioning of the NDA, and brand recognition of the NDA, amongst others. So there has been a lot of progress done in relation to this. This was carried over into this financial year as part of the turnaround strategy, not as a standalone KPI. But I think as far as it relates to this target in the 2021 financial year, It was not fully attained, but significant progress has been made to date in the implementation of the turnaround strategy. In program two, the first indicator, which is KPI 8, I'm on slide 14, is rent value of resources raised to fund CSO development interventions. And our target was 100 million, and we achieved 15.7 million. And I think this was largely brought about, as I said earlier, by the poor economic outlook, the economic suppression brought about by COVID-19 largely, which shrunk the kind of support that we normally enjoy from within government and other donors in the private sector. So our achievement by the end of the financial year was at 15.7 million. The next indicator was on the number of strategic partnerships established. We had a target of five, establishing five partnerships, which we duly attained by the end of the financial year. We had an MOU with NYDA on capacity building of youth-based CSOs with SASA, particularly on at the height of COVID around queue management and assistance, assisting the elderly, and even on the SRD grant itself. We had another one, I think, with DSD relating to the implementation of the CARA program. As I said earlier, the CARA program was implemented alongside the volunteer program. So there was a twin program implementation in the NDA, one focusing on purely COVID-19, which was the volunteer program, and the CARA program as well, focusing on GBV in particular. We had an SLA as well with Gauteng Provincial Department of DSD around, I think, food security and food gardens and related projects. We also had an MOU with Sunparks on capacity building of CSOs. On KPI 10, I'm now on page 15. On KPI 10, the number of integrated development initiatives coordinated, we had a target of 9, and we duly achieved the 9 integrated development initiatives, which we coordinated across provinces. And we had specific projects and even dealing, coordinating and integrating development together with other partners in the districts and in the areas that we are rendering these interventions on. So they were related mainly to sowing projects, food security, and advocacy against GBV and FM communities. So there were a range of development partners that we identified who played a crucial role in ensuring that messaging around GBV and F was advanced in the specific communities, but also income generation projects were also successfully implemented. We created 2,049 work opportunities through the volunteer program largely, which was implemented across the nine provinces. I think I've already spoken at large to this. So this was against an annual target of 2,000. So this was fully achieved and surpassed by 49 in terms of actual work opportunities that were created and accessed by young people in particular. KPI 12 on page, on slide 16 now, value of increased CSO income generated as a result of NDA interventions. Our annual target was 24 million, but we could only achieved 3.2 million, and this was largely because of COVID, where normal business activities of the CSOs were affected. So here, this is where the CSOs themselves are able to generate income as a result of the interventions that we give them, whether it's grant funding, whether it's capacity building, and they are able to turn their actual projects that they are implementing into revenue to the value of 24 million. But they were only able to do that to the tune of 3.2 million. KPI 13 on the same slide, number of CSOs empowered through online and e-development interventions. This is essentially capacity building. And I spoke to this when I spoke about the hybrid model that we used, where we used a combination of virtual training platforms and also in-person training platforms. In-person training platforms were primarily undertaken when the lockdown restrictions had been lowered to levels that afforded us the opportunity to be able to interact in person with the CSOs and the members of the CSOs for training purposes. So the target, the annual target was 300, and we attained 1,114. And that's because we, I think, ramped up our program, the implementation of our program in the last two quarters of the year when the lockdown levels allowed us to do so. The last indicator on program two is percentage disbursement of funds for grant funding. And our target was to disburse 95%, and we fully disbursed more than 95%. In other words, the entire fiscal allocation, budget allocation towards grant funding, which was in the order of around, I think, around 8 million or so, was fully disbursed to, you know, to the CSOs for them to be able to advance development interventions in their communities. So this is one target where we have fully achieved and surpassed the target. We have duly, I think, utilized the entire budget allocation towards this area of work. Program three, which is the last program on slide 18, number of research publications that inform development practice on government practices. Our target was to have three research reports, and we were able to produce five instead of three research reports. So we had additional researches undertaken relating to behavior change modification in the wake of COVID-19 and also analysis of ECD policy implementation in rural settings. So these are studies that were undertaken outside the three that were already targeted. The other three that were undertaken related to requirements for transformation of the civil society sector in South Africa, civil society funding mechanism in South Africa, and creating capacities and building capabilities for CSOs in South Africa. The next indicator is on the approved research and evaluation agenda, which was duly achieved. We were able to have a research and evaluation agenda developed and approved by the board. So the research and evaluation agenda necessary lists and prescribes a methodology to undertake research and evaluations, and also lists the number of researches and evaluations that will be undertaken in almost a 3-year rolling interim period, and it also identifies the specific priorities and areas of research that will be pursued as well, in line with the priorities of government. On slide 19, number of evaluation reports that contribute to development practice. We had a target of three evaluation reports, and we achieved the three evaluation reports in the annual in the period the financial year. We did evaluations on people with disability income generation projects supported, and also on ECD implemented by the resource and training organizations, and on CSORE rapid evaluation of the volunteer program. So these are the specific program evaluations that we undertook in the 2021 financial year. On the dialogues, which we are mandated by the secondary mandate to undertake in order to promote, I think, knowledge and also a debate on development policy. We undertook about five policy dialogues against the target of five. We dialogued around creating capabilities and building capacities for CSOs. As you can see, members, this links directly to the researches that have been undertaken. So as we undertake researches, we also dialogue on those researches so that we don't undertake researches for the sake of researches only, but also to ensure that we contribute largely towards shaping development policy in the country. The second area was on food security and nutrition dialogue. The third area was on South Africa's integrated approach to addressing poverty and inequality and exclusion. The fourth area was on the impact of COVID and lockdown on ECD centers operations and teaching practices in KZN in particular. So this was a specific research undertaken in KZN, and we dialogued on that. The last research that was dialogued on was on the experiences of ECD practitioners in implementing the program relating to children's responses, challenges, and adaptations of the lessons in SEL. The last indicator on program three relates to the number of times NDA research work is referenced. And this is just to lend value and credence to the work that NDA does. Because for us to be able to affect and make inroads in changing and shaping development policy, we must produce credible work. And we had a target of five times NDA work is referenced or cited, and we had a total success of nine, a total achievement of nine against five. So this was Julia Shift, where we are cited by different publications, and these are notable, renowned publications and journals that cited our work. I think at this point, I'm going to, with your permission, Chair, to request the CFO to deal with the two last areas, which is the annual financial statements and the audit outcomes for 2021 financial year. Thank you, Chair, and over to CFO.
Thank you, Ben. Afternoon, honourable members, CEO and colleagues. My name is Karen Morgan, and I will be presenting the annual financial statements and the audit outcomes for the 2021 financial year. On slide 22, we present the NDA's financial position on assets. Ben, if you can move on to slide 22, please, from your side. The NDA recognized or recorded total assets of 137.7 million for the 2021 financial year. And this was made up of current assets of 127.3 million and non-current assets of 10.4 million. In terms of current assets, made up of cash holdings of 125.6 million, which increased by 73.9 million on the prior year, mainly due to third-party funds being held by the NDA, largely the CARA funds of 50.7 million, awaiting disbursement once contractual conditions are met. The UIF funds relating to the COVID-19 stipends to students on the program of 11.4 million, and cash held for committed operational and grant funding expenditure of 59 million. In terms of receivables from exchange, recorded at 1.6 million, comprising mainly of rental deposits held by landlords, with the head office lease in Parktown making up the largest portion at 1.2 million. In terms of receivables from non-exchange transactions, recorded at 139,000 and mainly made up of staff debtors in relation to study assistance loans. The NDA recorded non-current assets of 10.4 million, made up of property, plant, and equipment, which of 6.8 million, comprising computer equipment at 5 million, furniture at 1.1 million, and office equipment at 689,000. And intangible assets recorded at 3.5 million, comprising mainly the Inzalama system, which is the CSO database and information management system, valued at 3.5 million, and the ERP system at 22,000. Total assets have increased by 74.5 million in prior year, and that is mainly due to increased cash holdings, which I've already spoken to. On the next slide, in terms of the NDA's financial position in relation to liabilities, so the NDA recorded current liabilities of 104 million, mainly made up of the items as reflected on the slide on slide 23. And in terms of the items that are listed, Payables from exchange was recorded at 9.8 million, which comprises trade payables of 8.4 million, the operating lease liability of 1.4 million. Payables from non-exchange recorded at 6 million, which comprises the UIF trading program stipend accrual of 5.8 million and staff creditors at 140,000. The provisions comprise mainly the bonus provision for staff at 5.9 million, short-term employee benefits of recorded at 10.5 million, comprising mainly the leave provision at 9.6 million and the 13th check accrual of 804,000. The accrual for committed projects are recorded at 7.2 million and is mainly made up of volunteer program accruals of 4.9 million, grant funded project accruals of 2.2 million. And the reason why the grant funding accrual is much lower than the volunteer program accrual is that during the COVID-19 period, we had a reduced budget for grant funding, as the majority of the NDA's budget was reprioritized for implementation of the volunteer program as the main program during the COVID-19 period. In terms of the unutilized third-party funds recorded at 64.7 million, which comprises mainly the third-party funds from CARA at 51.9 million, SASA at 1.6 million, Anglo-American at 552,000, UIF funds at 5 million, funds received from Kaohsiung DSD at 3.7 million, and funds, smaller amounts of funds from KZN and Free State DSD of approximately 500,000 each. And the net asset value on this slide, you can see, has the net asset position of the NDA has improved by 15 million, from 17 million to 33 million. On slide 24, which reflects the financial performance of the NDA, so the NDA recognized revenue of 277 million, expenditure of 262 million, and thereby arriving at a surplus of 15 million for the year. The total revenue increased by 36.6 million from 240 million in the prior year. And this is mainly due to the CARA and other third-party funds recognized of 29.8 million and a 2.1 million increase in interest income. Total expenditure, which is made up of mandate expenditure and administrative expenditure, increased by 16.8 million from 245 million in the prior year to 262 million in the 2021 financial year. And expenditure increased mainly due to the implementation of the CARA and volunteer programs and the recognition of expenditure on those programs. Mandate expenditure, which relates to CSO development and research, increased by 40.3 million, mainly due to the CARA program and volunteer program disbursements, offset by decreases in third-party funded capacity building of 16.1 million, which is due to mainly to the suspension of the UIF training program during the year due to the lockdown periods during which the training of students could not occur. And there were also decreases in the NDA funded capacity building of 6.9 million, in CSO development costs of 5.6 million, and in research studies of 1.3 million, mainly due to the COVID-19 budgetary prioritizations towards the implementation of the volunteer program, which I have already spoken to. Admin expenditure decreased by 23.5 million, mainly due to a reduction in travel and accommodation of 14.9 million due to lockdown restrictions, a reduction in general expenses of 8 million in audit fees of 1.7 million due to a delay in the audit, and in operating leases of 925,000 and in consulting costs of 837,000. And the NDA importantly progressed from a net deficit position in 2020 of 4.6 million to a net surplus position in 2021 of 15.1 million. On slide 25, which is a detailed breakdown of the revenue that has been recognized. So the NDA recognized non-exchange revenue of 271 million, made up of the transfer revenue from DSD of 216 million, as well as other grants, which relates to third-party funds recognized from on the CARA program and on UIF. And then in terms of the exchange revenue recognized, recorded at 6.4 million, made up of finance income of 2.9 million and other income of 3.4 million. Importantly is that the transfer allocation was reduced by 8.3 million from 224 million to 216 million. And the other grants represent third-party funds recognized upon disbursement of funds according to contractual obligations, and has more than doubled on prior year revenue. And that, as I mentioned, relates to the disbursements on the CARA, on the CARA program, on funds spent relating to funds received from DSD Limpopo that were spent on capacity building, and funds that have been accrued for training for COVID-19 statins on the UIF program. Then in terms of finance income, so finance income was recorded at 2.9 million and represents a 2.1 million rand increase in the prior year interest earned. And this is mainly due to the higher cash holdings due to the third-party funds received in CARA and UIF. And other income relates to the management fees that the NJA earns on the implementation of third-party funds. And these were recognized at 2.7 million for CARA, at 300,000 for the Limpopo DSD funds on capacity building. And also we had insurance recoveries of 84,000, 49,000 of project recoveries on projects that, that were not implemented according to the contract. And we also had staff debtor recoveries of 220,000. On the next slide, slide 26. In relation to the mandate expenditure, which relates to CSO development and research expenditure. So this slide indicates the categories that make up mandate expenditure. So grant funding, you will see, reduced from by 5.6 million due to the COVID-19 reprioritization for the volunteer program. And it's reduced from 10 million to 4.4 million. The CARA program was a new program in the 2021 financial year with disbursements of 46 million that were recorded. The volunteer program was also a new program, specifically a COVID-19 program, with disbursements to CSOs and volunteers, including spend on PPE for volunteers of 32 million. Third-party funded capacity building of 8.8 million relates to the DSD Limpopo funds and the UIF COVID-19 stipends that we accrued for the students on the program. NDA funded capacity building of 1.1 million reduced by 6.9 million due to COVID-19 reprioritization for the volunteer program. And there was low activity on capacity building due to lockdown restrictions as well. And there was reduction as well in travel related costs that relate to capacity building travel. There was also a 4 million reduction in venue hire because of the restriction on activities, and a 1.1 million reduction in training manuals and the travel costs incurred for participants that are usually trained. In terms of CSO development costs relating to mobilization and formalization of CSOs, these costs reduced by 5.6 million from 8.7 million to 3 million in the 2021 year. And that is due to the also to the COVID-19 reprioritization to the volunteer program, as well as activity that was restricted due to the lockdown restrictions and to a reduction in travel-related costs relating to mobilization activities. There was also a 1.4 million reduction in ministerial events, also due to the same reasons. In terms of research expenditure reduced by 1.3 million from 2.6 million in the prior year to 1.2 million due to the reprioritization towards the volunteer program, and mandate staff expenditure reduced by 2 million from 77.1 million to 75 million in the 2021 year due to reprioritization of key posts and the postponement in the filling of non-key positions. On slide 27, in relation to our admin expenditure, so the categories are listed on the slide, and you will see that travel costs reduced by 14.9 million from 17.2 million in the prior year to 2.3 million due to lockdown restrictions that I've mentioned, as well as the reprioritization of the budget towards the volunteer program. Audit fees reduced by 1.7 million as the interim audit was delayed by the AG. And the 2021 audit concluded on the 31st of August, and most of the large invoices were processed after year end. Consulting fees decreased mainly due to a 1.3 million rand reduction in legal fees. Operating lease expenditure decreased by 925,000, mainly due to office closures in Gauteng province, Northern Cape, Western Cape, and district offices in Hazyview and in Queenstown. IT communication expenditure reduced by 742,000 due to closure of the offices that I've mentioned, which resulted in a decrease in the fiber and internet communication costs. And admin staff expenditure was 3.9 million higher at 54.4 million due to reprioritized compliance positions that were filled to address the high levels of irregular expenditure, and as well as the 2018-19 bonus payment that was processed after it was approved late by the board. And general expenses decreased by 8 million, from 16.7 million to 8.6 million due to a reduction in travel management agency fees. And that is related to the decrease in travel expenditure, 800,000 rand reduction in printing and stationery because of the number of staff that were working from home and not from the office, a 1.5 million rand reduction in marketing and promotions, a 1.2 million rand reduction in office setup costs, a 700,000 rand reduction in workshops and conferences, and an 800,000 reduction in municipal charges due to the low utilization of our office spaces. On the next slide, on slide 28, in terms of the commitments disclosed in the apps, the NDA disclosed commitments of 22.9 million made up of open purchase orders of 1.5 million, contracted operational expenditure of 9.2 million, committed project funds of 7.6 million, and an amount of funds set aside for the re-advertisement of the digitization tender, which was approved for reissue by the board after the initial tender was non-responsive. The NDA submitted to National Treasury a request for retention of these surplus funds of 22.9 million in order to provide for the operational commitments that were recorded. And approval was granted by National Treasury to retain the funds in November 2021. On slide 29, in terms of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure disclosed at 1.2 million, made up of an opening balance carried forward of 1.2 million from prior years. And what was confirmed as incurred in the 2021 year was 6,600 rands. And that was mainly made up of interest on late payments and a penalty on a courier service that was canceled late. And this incidentally was to the expenditure recorded of 6,000 was a substantial decrease on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure recorded in the prior year of 182,000. On slide 30, we show our irregular expenditure, which was disclosed at 175.4 million, made up of an opening balance carried forward from prior years of 145.9 million. And what was confirmed in the current year was 29.4 million. And in comparison to the prior financial year, what was confirmed in that year was 39.2 million. So irregular expenditure in 2021 also displayed a decrease on the prior year expenditure that was recorded. So the irregular expenditure in the 2021 year relates mainly to the volunteer program extension from January to March 2021, which was not in line with the approved delegations and was not approved by the board to the value of 4.5 million. Grant funding to CSOs on the volunteer program implemented from July to December 2020, which was not in line with the requirements of the NDA Act, but was approved in total by the board. Also, there was irregular expenditure incurred on the approval of prior year tenders that were not in accordance with approved delegations and non-compliance with SCM regulations. So there has been a decrease, a 9.7 million rand decrease in irregular expenditure in the prior year. And the material irregular expenditure incurred in the prior year relates to the UIF training program, expenditure of 23.2 million, where the subcontractor, which is the training service provider, was appointed without following a competitive bidding process. The investigation on this irregular transaction is now being contracted out for forensic investigation. In terms of the next slide on slide 31 on financial viability, I think the main areas of interest here is that the NDA has improved on prior year from a deficit shown in the 2020 year of 4.6 million to a surplus shown in the 2021 year of 15 million. The amount of the year-end bank balance funds improved from 51.6 million to 125.5 million. And the amount of net cash flows in improved from a negative 2.6 million to a positive 77.6 million of cash flows in. On the next slide, so now we move into the audit outcomes. So on slide 33, in terms of a summary of audit outcomes for the past 3 years. So over the past 3 years, the NDA has achieved an unqualified audit opinion with findings. And the 2021 audit outcome of the NDA reflects an improvement on the 1920 audit outcome relating mainly to performance information, detection of instances of non-compliance with legislation. And there was also no material instances found by the AG of non-compliance with SCM legislation. The AG did not identify any material findings on the usefulness and reliability of the reported performance information for Program 2, which is the CSO development, the main operational program. And the AG also found that appropriate steps were not taken to prevent irregular expenditure amounting to 29.4 million, the majority of which relates to payments on the volunteer program without the proper delegated approvals. On slide 34, in terms of the status of risk areas and internal control. So on this slide, you will see that the quality of submitted performance information and IT information technology has improved, from the prior financial years, whilst the financial health, HR management, the quality of submitted financial statements has remained the same, but still at a green status. And the status of supply chain management has improved from a red status in the prior year to a yellow status in the 2021 financial year. And the AG also found that the assurance provided by the accounting authority should be improved to provide necessary oversight over the key drivers of internal control and the key risk areas of non-compliance with the PFMA, as well as supply chain management legislation, does require some attention. They also found that although management has controls in place to detect irregular expenditure, there were still non-compliance findings related to non-compliance with the PFMA and SCM legislation, as well as the NDA Act. They found that management did not adequately review compliance with operational policies and applicable legislation to prevent irregular expenditure, and therefore compliance therefore remained the same at a yellow status from the prior financial year. And they found that senior management must ensure that internal controls are implemented by all officials and that consequence management is taken swiftly against transgressors. And therefore, the audit action plan status has remained the same as the yellow status. On slide 35, in terms of the status of assurance levels, so this slide reflects the performance over the past 2 years on the status of assurance levels, which reflects an improvement on the first and second levels of assurances, which have received a green status. And the AG also found that there has been an improvement in the assurance provided by the accounting authority, the audit committee, and a significant improvement in the oversight by senior management. On slide 36, which is the status of risk areas. So this is reflecting a comparison showing the improvement over the past 2 years. So in terms of the 2021 audit outcome, there has been improvement, as I mentioned, in the quality of submitted performance information and in the management of and internal controls implemented in the supply chain operations and in the information technology areas. And the NDA moved from a disclaimer opinion on performance information in the 2019-20 financial year to no material findings on performance information in the 2021 financial year. And that reflects a substantial improvement in the collation and validation of performance information, thereby ensuring the reliability of information, of reported information by the MDA. On slide 37, in terms of irregular expenditure, so this slide is really giving a breakdown of the comparison of irregular expenditure over the past 2 or 3 years. So in terms of the 2021 financial year, 29.47 was disclosed as irregular expenditure in note 29, and mostly relates to non-compliance with the grant funding policy and the NDA Act, and relates actually to the volunteer program, which I've mentioned. In the prior financial year, the NDA disclosed 39.18 million in note 27 relating to irregular expenditure, and that related to non-compliance with SCM legislation, and specifically non-compliance with competitive bidding processes, where the subcontracting on the UIF program was the major contributor. And then in terms of, importantly, management has put in place controls to monitor the compliance of SCM processes with legislation, detect and prevent irregular expenditure, and has employed measures to cancel recurring non-compliant contracts and replace these irregular contracts through processes compliant with the SCM legislation. And all that has been completed. And this has largely been achieved through the appointment of additional staff in the SCM area, including a compliance officer who monitors compliance with the legislation and tracks the irregular expenditure, as well as retraining of the SCM staff and the bid committee members, all the bid committee members, to ensure strict implementation of SCM compliance control. And in addition, there's annual revision of the SCM policy, and importantly, an entire suite of SCM procedures, the SOPs, have been developed and have been implemented in the NDA. Then on slide 38, in terms of the fraud risk factors, so the AG identified the following fraud risk factors. Number one, non-compliance with SCM legislation, which increases the risk of fraud in procurement. And then the allegations on misappropriation of CSO funding on the CARA program increases the risk of fraud on disbursements made to CSOs on that program. Then in terms of the final slide, in terms of the overall message and the audit outcomes, is that the executive senior management and the accounting authority should regularly assess and monitor key risk areas, the implementation of key controls, internal controls to address those risk areas, and to ensure that there is independence and lack of conflict of interest between the various oversight structures and in decision making. Additionally, the board delegations of authority and the board resolutions should be strictly applied. And then the following specific recommendations to improve the audit outcomes of the NDA have been proposed, and that is to improve on key internal controls to address the risk and the fraud areas that have been identified by the AG, to monitor the implementation of audit action plans, to prepare credible and financial and performance reports, and ensure there's adequate review of those before they are reported to the oversight structures. Officials should be held accountable for non-compliance with legislation that results in irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Investigations into the allegations of misappropriation of CSO funding on CARA should be concluded, and then there should be ongoing review and monitoring of compliance with contracts, policies, and legislation that should be strictly implemented and reported on quarterly to the oversight structures. And in conclusion, Chair, it is proposed that the Select Committee notes the annual report for the 2021 financial year, comprising of the program performance information, the annual financial statements for the year ended March 2021, and the audit outcomes for the 2021 financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for the presentation. I believe we've got the minister on the platform. Minister Zulu, welcome. Let me just find out from the minister if the minister wants to say something now, or will you wait till the end? Because we received your apology that you will join us. Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I earlier apologized. I have a bad network also, so excuse me, and I'm on transit. So, Chairperson, I did join the meeting at some point at the beginning, not in the middle of the presentation. I wish to thank you first and foremost for indulging me at this point when the meeting has been going on this long, but I did listen to the issues raised. So, Honorable Chair, thank you very much, Honorable, and all the members of the Select Committee on Health and Social Services, the Deputy Minister, Bokopane Zulu, but I'm not sure if the DM is here because the DM has not been very well, Honorable Members. So I hope that her apology was passed if she's not here. I also would like to thank the Chief Executive Officer of SASA, as well as the Acting Chief Executive Officer of the National Development Agency, and the senior managers and staff members who are here. I wish to thank you for inviting me and inviting us into the meeting to this annual report of the department's entities. I greet you all in the new year because this is the first time. Just a second for me. Can you just click on to me, Mama? Is it the same code? Yeah. Oh my goodness, my sincere apology. Can you look at it quickly? I'm in a meeting here. Can they do it quickly for me? Thank you. Chairperson, I'm sorry about that. As I said, I am on transit. There's something that was on my phone that was needed. My sincere apology. I will be talking about the new year, but it's no longer a new year because we are already in March. So many months have passed since then. But I do trust that everyone is safe and protected where they are. And to those among us whose loved ones are not in good health, we have you in our mediation and prayers. And I say this, Chairperson, because this COVID-19, we might be looking like we are recovering from it and we are getting back to normal, but I do want to indicate that it is still there. I saw the news this morning that there was hardly any death reported, which is by the grace of God and the good work that we are all doing. I hope that this is something that will continue happening. And I'm sure you all are aware of the fact that we as executive, we have been sitting and contemplating and discussing about what's the next step when we look at the health environment and the statistics and all. And I also am aware very much that everybody wants to get back to normal. We need our lives and livelihoods back, but it is still important for us to be very careful. I'm hoping that we are coming back in 2022 to strengthen our institutions of democracy and continue being accountable as we are today, making the necessary presentations. And these presentations, Chairperson, have to continue affirming our commitment to the people of South Africa and affirming the fact that we need to change their lives, and also affirming the role of Parliament and the NCOP in your role as doing the oversight. In the context of today's presentation, Honorable Chair and members, by SASA and the NDA, I reaffirm that the social development mandate commits to attending to the people's felt needs 365 days a year. And this is what I talk about in the department in its portfolio, that our responsibility is to do the work and not lose sight of any day, because we are the ones that have to deal
with the social transformation, but also we are the ones that have to deal with the social ills, deal with issues of family, deal with issues, all issues that are related to social development. And therefore, during the period, the reporting period, we had to continue implementing our programs under the unprecedented conditions that occupy COVID-19, that accompany COVID-19. Of course, this was coupled by government's wide budget cuts in response to the need to redirect resources to the fight against this pandemic. And I'm sure, honorable members, as you listen to the presentations, you can see that the budget cuts that are going to be with us even in the next and the next financial year have got a negative impact on us, but we have to make do with what we have. In many respects, the advent of the pandemic worsened the challenges of poverty, unemployment, and inequalities, while it increased uncertainty, panic, distrust, gender-based violence and femicide, the abuse of children, instances of violence, substance abuse, and post-traumatic stress disorders in our communities. And honorable members, the post-traumatic stress disorder in our communities, we need, as a Department of Social Development, to focus on the impact of communities by COVID. And sometimes we underestimate the impact of COVID itself. And therefore, this will be a period where we'll have to look at how do we assist our people from a psychosocial support point of view. It is during this reporting period that the social development portfolio led and implemented government's most effective measures for combating poverty inequalities through SASSA's administration of plus 18.4 million social grants amongst the most vulnerable. Additionally, SASSA administered the innovative COVID-19 social relief of disbursed grant to more than 10 million beneficiaries. These are among the most tangible demonstrations that through the social development mandate, our government is determined to protect the most vulnerable among South Africans. And the NDA made significant strides in pushing back the frontiers of poverty by implementing the volunteer program, which was instrumental in providing much needed information to communities at a time when little was known about COVID-19 and government's intervention in response to its impact on our people's lives and livelihoods. The volunteer program became a flagship program in the management of queues, avoiding SASSA being the virus super spreader, as one time we were told that we are the super spreader. I'm also hoping, Chairperson, that this program of the volunteers, we can be able to expand it so that communities can be reached house to house, street to street, community to community, but at the same time, being able to provide some financial support to the volunteers. The annual report are a reflection of our ongoing commitment to realize Cabinet's 7 priorities. Streamlining our program relative to these will certainly go a long way towards improving the human level outcome of each South African. I thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and the Honorable Members of the Select Committee for your relentless guidance. Surely this mandate will not be necessary. The provincial members of the executive knowledge, the acting director, social service professions, SAC, SSP, which many a times we forget that they are there. They must always be understood and known for the work that they do. And all the staff of the department, our entities, council and provincial departments for their contribution to this annual commitment is to the establishment of an inclusive society and common prosperity for all South Africans, because a common prosperity, honorable members, is one that does not leave anyone behind. A common prosperity is one that ensures that nobody goes hungry. A common prosperity is one that ensures that we do everything we can to make sure that people have jobs, we create jobs, and the economy also grows. And Honorable Chairperson and members, please, I'm sure you now have received the 2021 annual report of the South African Social Security Agency, SASSA, and the National Development Agency for your due consideration. And I do want to say, Honorable Members, as we present this report, it is my concern also as the executive to make sure that what were strengths in this report and weaknesses in this report must not find themselves in the next report, our planning process. What was a weakness here, if we must change it, what was strength in these ones, we must work on it and make sure that this year becomes better than the previous year. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister, for that wise word. Members, I know load shedding is upon us. I am not going to switch on my video. I'm also experiencing this. Bear with me if I lost connection, but I am in load shedding now. I will open up the meeting for discussions and any questions and clarity. Members, you can raise your hand. I see iPhone. Who's iPhone? I can't see the member's name. I just see an iPhone. And then Member Christian.
Oh, Chairperson, it's me. It's me, Member Luth.
Okay, Latuli. Member Latuli. Okay, you're number one. Member Christian, number two. And Member Chubby, number three. Thank you. You can continue, my dear.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to everyone. Sorry for not switching on my video too. There's load shedding this side. And one would like to welcome both a presentation by SASSA and also by NDA. But I have a few questions. One on SASSA. We know that on AGA report, it shows processes which are in place to investigate and follow up on the irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So my question is, what are your plans to address the delays in the finalization of investigation on time? Also, how are you dealing with the cases of non-compliance with rules and regulations? And on NDA, Chairperson, I would like to ask one question again. If they were able to deal with the social economic impact of COVID-19, as well as assisting civil society's organization during this period. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Latuli, Member Christian.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is to SASSA around Program 1, Administration. Now, it was noted there that the vacancies in the department continue to present challenges to service delivery. Now, the overall employment equity targets were also not achieved in that same program one. I would like to ask which quotas were not achieved with regard to the employment equity targets in that particular program. And then the report shows that a number of the posts on the approved establishment were supposed to be 10,617, but that the posts filled were only 8,013. How does the department intend addressing the issues of vacancy in order to manage the service delivery issues that they might be experiencing? And then also with the same program, it is also noted that for the year under review, that under the sub-program audit and risk management, 58 million rand, that is 57% of the allocated budget under that particular program, the committee sorry, the internal audit and risk management for that agency. So my question is, what is the reason for the low expenditure on this critical sub-program? And how does the agency intend to address the challenges on this particular sub-program? So only 57% was spent, and the budget allocated there was 103 million rand, and only 58 million rand was spent. And then also there was irregular expenditure to the tune of 1.1 billion. For the year under review, there was 87 million rand worth of fruitless and wasteful expenditure as well, also for the year under review. Now, these irregular expenditures and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, how will it be addressed in the future? And what will the department do to ensure that the same issue does not come up again year after year? Then the agency spent 96% of its allocated budget, but the targets that were achieved was only 74% of targets achieved. Now, this does not align correctly. The money spent does not align with the targets met. What are the reasons for this? If the department can explain to us, and where was the shortfall in which targets? Then in program two, benefits and benefits administration and support, the financial statements indicate there that the agency has incurred irregular expenditure to the amount of 73 million. And this relates to failure to follow a competitive process with regard to leasing contracts, cleaning, sanitation. In other words, it was reported there that tender processes were not followed. Now, can the department explain to us exactly what has happened there, how this has taken place, and what measures were taken to check on this money, on the 73 million? How far is the investigations into this? I see some of those penalties involved were with regard to not honoring booked hotels. And that is particularly concerning, because this obviously means that hotel rooms were booked, but people didn't go and actually sleep in the hotels, and therefore charges were incurred, if I'm correct, if I can just be out correct there. So fruitless and wasteless expenditure of to the tune of about 1 million there. Then with regard to procurement and contract management, the AG also reported an overpayment of 316 million to a service provider. If we can just get more details on that. The AG also raised concerns about, and this was also in the previous financial year, the same concern was raised by the AG about the lack of consequence management in the agency. What steps is the department taking to ensure then that this does not occur financial year after financial year? Because the quarterly briefings to the committee by the agency should obviously focus on how they deal with cases of non-compliance. And I have not seen that. We have not seen that anyway. Anyway, then with regard to the NDA, the NDA has received 63% of its set targets. They have spent 262 million. In other words, out of a budget of 334 million rand, they spent 262 million. So the shortfall there, 78.3% of the total targets were achieved. What is the reason for the other targets not being reached? So only 29% of the planned targets were reached, and the expenditure of 87.9% of the allocation of the allocated budget was done there. What is the reason for that, and how is it that the allocated budget does not match with the set targets? And then as well, a concern of mine, the irregular expenditure by the NDA of 29 million rand. This was with regards to the payment of stipends to volunteers without the approval of the delegated official. what impact will that have on the volunteers then that are currently employed? I don't know if that was mentioned. I know that we received the report earlier about the volunteers and so on, but will this have an impact on the volunteers and their jobs for the rest of the year? I will submit the rest of the questions in writing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Christian, Member Chubby, and then followed by Member Dungane.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson of the Select Committee, the Minister, and then the officials of the department. Chair, let us firstly welcome the quite extensive and detailed presentation. I would say that I think partly Member Christians has covered me on the number of range of issues. However, Chair, the report says, and I think it's under considerations on SASSA. It says that SASSA spent 96% of its budget, which makes it 268 million meaning the mandate did not spend. So I want to check, Chair, with them, why is it that they could not spend all of their budget? Is it because there are no issues at all, or we are fine as a nation to say, no, it's okay, can SASSA spend just 96%? I just want the clarity in terms of the 96% and not spending the entire budget, because I think as we are, Chair, we South Africa is really in a dire situation and is in need of the total budget to be utilized, Chair. I know, Chair, just to smuggle, at least the minister is just to smuggle a question. It's on the 350 relief fund grant. I just want to check its sustainability, Chair, because from where I'm, I know that it has been extended by the President of the Republic. I just want to check its sustainability. How long will it run? Secondly, maybe does the department consider to increase it? Because all of us can say that I think 350 is not enough, but it's what government can do at the moment. So I just wanted to check with them, Chair. The second part, Chair, is on vacancies. The report, the presentation says the Treasury allocated funding to fill 191 vacant posts. So I just want to check, Chair, have those 191 posts that Treasury allocated funding to the department, has it been filled so far? Because we understand that there's 220 that has since been vacated, I think after the National Treasury has allocated funding to the department to fill. So I just wanted to check, the department filled 191 vacancies as to enhance the work of the department in delivering services to our people. Chair, on the, I think it's under AG report, procurement and contract management, it said that SASSA made an overpayment of 316 million to a service provider. I just want to check with them, Chair, has that 316 million being recovered, and what is really happening if it has not been recovered? I think the last one, Chair, is an issue of a consequence management. You see, Chair, this issue has been now and then it pops up. So I don't know what is the hesitation about from the department to deal and strengthen the consequence management, because we'll forever see these inequities in department because there's no consequence management team that is strengthened to can partake in the internal auditing of the department. Chairperson, on the National Development Agency, Chair. Yes, NDP. Yes, so I think it's under Sustainable Development Goals. It says that NDA has funded 153 civil society organizations, enabling them to implement poverty relief programs. So I just want to check with them, Chair, maybe how much did the department give to civil society organizations, and if they can give us the ratio, my apologies, per province or cities. That's the Chair. On the SONA 2021 under job creation, I think it says in terms of the expanded public works program, it says the program responsibilities to enhance the abilities of and improve social services while providing options for career path or exit, starting into a formal or a self-employment. I just want to check, because this is their program, Chair. If have the department monitored the development or a progress regard to this program, to give account to whether this program that they've initiated will it be a success or not, Chair. I think I'll be those will be only my submission, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Member Nsubi, Member Tongeni.
Thank you, Chair. I've been covered by honorable members. Only one question. In fact, I'm seeking clarity about the 350. The people have applied online and they get the results, say it's pending last year, but even today still it's pending. If they can explain on that, that's only, otherwise I've been covered, Chair. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Member Tongeni, and thank you to all the members for the questions. Minister, I've only got one question, and my question is just, I noticed when the CFO made his presentation that the department is keeping in line with a 30-day turnaround in paying accounts. My only question is, does the department have SASSA and NDA, do they have any accounts at Eskom or at local government? And if yes, the plans of getting that accounts paid. If no, I need to congratulate the CFOs and the CEOs of SASSA and NDA. Thank you. I will hand over to you now, Minister, and your departments to come up with the answer. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Maybe I could just start quickly because I have another meeting that I need to join later on. In case this one continues, I'm still here for now. With regard to the question about the sustainability of the SRD 350 rand grant, the year that was extended is covered in the budget. So the question about its sustainability for the time that it has been extended, it remains extended until next year, and therefore the budget for that money is available. Of course, we are still in conversations because it's not always about the exact amount that has to be paid to the beneficiaries. There's also administrative issues and finances attached to that. And I do want to say for the year, it is a budgeted for. As to its sustainability in extension thereafter, I think honorable members are aware of the fact that we've been looking at other options which have been discussed relating to the basic income grant, for instance, because that would be part of what we're looking at. We're looking at it from a point of view of what happens thereafter after the 350. And 350 has also taught us the lessons that the money is being used, a majority is used by our people for the most basics of things that they need in their homes. And therefore, the money goes right back into the economy. So it's a contribution in another way. As for the long-term discussion after the end of this financial year, the discussions are ongoing about the basic income grant. And I think maybe the department might want to say something about it. But just to say that we are very much on track in terms of bringing the discussion about the basic income grant. And we are hoping that we will. I'm hoping that you can be able to follow the debate and the discussion about it. Thank you very much, Chair. May I hand over to the officials to respond to the questions that have been raised.
Okay, so now we can have SASSA starting. And we have Mayor Ramakgopa as well as the CFO that will respond to the questions, as well as Usthoga on the issue of the 350. Mayor Ramakgopa, ma'am. I'm CFO.
Okay, thank you very much, Acting CEO, and thank you very much, Honorable Minister, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members. I will be able to deal with some of the questions that have been asked by the Honorable Members. There was a question relating to what are the plans for us to investigate and finalize the cases of irregular expenditure. What I can confirm to honorable members is that we have prepared this as part of the project. As part of the 2021-22 APP, we have committed ourselves that 95% of the cases will be finalized by the end of this financial year, which is 21-22. I think when we take a snapshot at about three quarter, which is by the end of December, we have already done with about 75% of the cases, which had to do with the implementation of the corrective measures. But some of these cases are still with National Treasury for consideration and condonation. So the condonation may take a bit of a while because SASSA may not have powers over or authority over, but in terms of finalizing the cases in the investigation, it's what we have committed ourselves and we're doing it. I can report that some of the cases do take a bit of a while because some of the cases are long outstanding cases, and some of the officials that will give us more information around them, they are not easily available. So we'll have to engage them wherever they are and try to find more information and the documentation around it. So that's what the delay was all about. But you will be able to see, honorable members, when we come and present the outcome of the year 2021-22, how far we have done in relation to that. There was also a question of saying, how will we deal with the non-compliance? What we have done was that we have implemented the three-pronged approach. The one part was the prevention. which means that we'll need to find ways to prevent that. And we've been very successful in the prevention part of it, because the cases that we have seen relating to irregular expenditure in the year 21-22 has been very significant low. I did indicate in my presentation that at the time it was about 3 million for the whole agency, with the head office in 9 regions, 44 districts, 400 local offices. We have done a lot of that. But also what we have done is that I did indicate during the presentation that we have taken a stand that we need to train everyone. So the whole of executive committee has been trained by National Treasury. We also included anyone that is serving under the Bid Education Committee in head office and the Regional Bid Education Committee. We concluded the training right now, just last month, I think February. But we did the training for ESCO members around October 2021. And over and above that, we're already arranging an external training just to make sure that the technical aspects of procurement have been attended to. But we, from head office point of view, we have also increased the visibility, which is the oversight, which is the reporting and the visiting and being part of some of the structures that exist in the region, just for providing support. And that we believe that I think the impact of those kind of intervention will be felt starting from this year and going to the outer years. There was a question that sought to say why we've spent 57% on the issues of consultants. When I did the presentation, I did indicate that the bulk of the money which led to the underspending under internal audit relates to the fraud management. And I did indicate that we did insource the activities of fraud management. The anti-fraud strategies are done by SASA officials. Previously, we used to outsource that particular element to a service provider. But since then, we have insourced that element. But during the time of the reporting time, which is the year 2021, you will note, honorable members, that the movement was very limited across the country. So our internal staff could not travel. So the amounts that were budgeted for the traveling and the moving and even being in contact with some of the people to be investigated in communities was very limited. And that is the main reason that we spend less. Secondly, I did indicate that there was a proclamation, number 37, that was made by the president that had to be done by SIU. At the time of the end of the financial year, SIU has not concluded the work relating to that proclamation. That work was only finalized during the year 21-22. And that is the main issue why there was an underspending around it. There was a question relating to the 1.1 billion of irregular expenditure that says that why is SASA not preventing this irregular expenditure. I can confirm that of that amount, the bulk of that amount is historical cases that I've already spoken to. Only 73 million were cases that emanated recently or were recognized during the year 2020-2021. And that 73 million, the bulk of it were the issues relating to the office accommodation, which I indicated that to procure office accommodation, we depended on the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. I did indicate to say, as a turnaround strategy that we're doing, we're engaging National Treasury and the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure just to conclude on the issues of already expired leases, because SASA can't procure that. It has to be done in consultation with the Department of Public Works. And that project plan and also the strategy has been considered by the SASA and being consulted with the department and the National Treasury. With National Treasury, we're asking just for a deviation for a limited period to be given to either ourselves or to Public Works for us to conclude the procurement processes relating to those leases, so that we do not stay in a building where a lease has expired. In terms of the other supply chain management issues. I did indicate that 20 million was other supply chain management processes. And that of the 20 million, 13 million relate to the breakup procurement relating to the cleaning tender in two regions. And that we have already started with the investigation process to finalize the disciplinary corrective measures relating to that. For the leases, there has been a delay in finalizing the disciplinary processes, primarily because we need to first conclude the new agreement in terms of the lease agreement so that we do not deal with the same case twice or thrice, because once we have stopped the regular expenditure, you may find that there's a delay in the implementation of the disciplinary corrective measures. There was a question that relates to the 73 million. I've already answered that to say what it entails that. There is a question relating to the 316 million that was paid to a service provider. Honorable Chairperson, you will note that this transaction happened in the years 2014-2015, after SASSA has embarked on a project where we did the re-registration of grants beneficiaries with the contractor service provider. And that amount was paid during that financial year. But there has been a dispute with the AG around it, and it was audited and confirmed that that amount is owing. This matter has gone to the High Court and to the Supreme Court of Appeal and to the Constitutional Court. A court order was subsequently issued that the company concerned must pay back that money. The demand letter was sent and the summons were sent, but the company in question, it is currently undergoing a liquidation. And the provisional appointed liquidators are currently dealing with these matters, and we're just only waiting for the court date to finalize so that because SASSA is owed money, then we will form part of the creditors that are owed by this company. And only the court and the liquidators will be able to tell us how much of that amount we're getting or the total amount. But it will form part of the liquidation process, which is underway. So that transaction relates to the year that I have already mentioned. There was a question that relates, Honorable Chair, why SASSA did not spend the total budget allocated to it. Yes, it is the intention of SASSA to spend all the funds that have been appropriated or allocated or transferred by the department. We did indicate that during the COVID-19, some of the positions that we wanted to fill could not be filled because the recruitment process was slowed down during that year. And also, we also had issues relating to the movement, because when the country was in the lockdown, you could not travel, you could not do some of the activities that you would do. The issues of the usage of telephone was very limited. The issue of traveling, which is normally the cars that would go to communities and do community engagement, was limited at that particular point. So we could not spend some of the money relating to those areas that I've already mentioned, primarily because of the COVID-19, because there was a limited movement and some of the activities we could not do them as we would have loved to have done them. There was also a question that also Chairperson, you have asked whether we do have any accounts outstanding for ESCOM and local government. I think in terms of our performance report, we did indicate that SASSA is committed to pay all suppliers within 30 days. If there are disputes, we return the invoices and engage whoever we owe it. So we can indicate that in all the regions, including head office, where we have owed either the local government or ESCOM, we make our endeavors to pay them within 30 days. If there are exceptions, then they are escalated for intervention at the relevant level. And that's what we've committed, just to make sure that the cash flow of companies and small businesses are always supported accordingly. There was a question relating to the 96% of spending versus the 74% targets achieved. Yes, Chairperson, we always endeavor that at least there should be that alignment to this level. But in other instances, it may not be possible because the bulk of SASSA budget also goes to the employees. So about 45% of SASSA budget goes to the compensation of employees. And that these are the salaries that are payable to the employees. So even if there are challenges in achieving certain targets, you will find that the salaries of the employees will have been paid and accordingly so. But also in other instances, you may find that the spending relates to a particular measure target. And you may find that there's been a skewed in terms of the alignment because it is not necessarily aligned on one-on-one at all the time. But we will endeavor going forward just to make sure that we improve our performance, at least coming to about in excess of the 80% threshold. And that's what I can indicate. I can be reminded if I may have missed any question that I needed to respond to as acting CEO. Thank you very much.
Chair, the only question that we did not respond to, it's around the issue of vacancies and the employment equity. And I have requested Mema Fora just to give a glimpse on what is happening around this. And from there on, Chair, I think we'll be done. The rest of the questions will also respond formally in writing on all the questions that have been raised.
Thank you for that, Sotwa. So is there another person that will answer, or will you put everything in the writing?
Yes, it was just to try and give a synopsis on the employment equity, and also in terms of the staff complement, the 10,000 vis-a-vis the 8,000, whether are we able to do the job thoroughly. So our general manager for human capital management is on standby just to respond quickly on this one, and then the rest will respond formally, Chair. Mema Fora?
I can continue.
Evening, honorable members, ministers, as well as colleagues. My name is Tizeni Mafora. I'm the general manager, human capital management at SASSA. I think I will start with a question around EE target. Why didn't we achieve this particular target? And which target is it specifically? Before I follow up the platform, can I request that I switch off the camera or video, Chair? Thank you. The main target that we couldn't achieve in the last financial year was around PWDs or persons with disabilities. So the intention is to have at least 3% of PWDs across most occupational categories or levels. So what we realized is that initially when we placed an ad, we were not like deliberate to say for this particular post, we want PWDs. We put other targets as well. But we have since changed the strategy, and that seemed to bear some fruit in that when we decide to fill a particular post with a person with a disability, we only put that one on paper to say only PWDs people will be considered for this particular post. And what we did, again, Chair, we've partnered with organizations dealing with persons with disabilities. So as we placed an ad, we also informed organizations dealing with PWDs to assist us as well. So we don't move until we make efforts of attracting this particular target. In the event that we don't or we can't fill a particular post with a person with disability, that's when we make a submission to the CEO. I know that she does not really like the deviation. So she always encourages us to make sure that we attract PWDs so that we reach the 3%. But in this financial year, we really made sure that we do that. For instance, if I can just make an example, in Mpumalanga, we attracted five people with a disability. And what we intend doing, or the plan, is to make sure that we link this particular deliverable into the individual scorecard, meaning that EXCO members in future, they will have this particular target in their scorecard, so that we make sure that we're all kept responsible and we ensure that we all do the right thing. And lastly, Chair, what we did with the current employees with disabilities, people with disabilities, we try to reasonably accommodate them. For instance, if we have a person who cannot have a movement, we just make sure that we assist them in whatever a disability that they have, so that we don't lose them. We make sure that the environment is quite suitable or accommodating to them. That's the long and the short of it. I'm not sure if maybe there are further questions, but if maybe the committee needs more information, I will be in a position to put everything in writing. And then the other question around the 10,000 employees. So currently we're around 813,000. However, it's not the intention of SASSA to fill all posts. That is why we formed a critical post committee under the leadership of our executive manager strategy to make sure that we apply our minds really in filling critical posts. It is a very, very strategic committee. So what we do before any region or even head of this fill a particular post, we subject them to this particular policy so that we don't fill all vacancies. We fill the vacancies that are really critical. So in the last financial year, we identified 191 posts that were critical. I know that we're not in a position to fill all of them, but it's not the intention of SASSA at this stage to fill all maybe 2,000 posts. More so that PPR is still underway. So as soon as we finalize PPR, we'll be having a clear indication of which posts we need to fill, and obviously there will be reasons suggesting or indicating the criticality as well as the scarcity of the post. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mayor Mafora. Honorable Chair and members, the acronyms that were used, I will request to be pardoned for that. But SASSA is in the process of embarking on a business process re-engineering just to be able to see we have the right people in the right seats and to be able to do the job, taking into cognizance the automation and the digital space that we find ourselves at as a country. So we'll definitely be also revising the SASSA organogram, and it will be shared with the committee. I thank you, Chair. We have tried to respond to all questions. Those that were not thoroughly responded to, we will put them in writing.
Zodwa, thank you very, very much. Members, if there is no follow-ups, and if you have follow-ups, can you please put it in writing? We expired our time already. Please put your questions in the writing. Member Chabaleng, I see your hand.
Good evening, Chairperson and honourable members and the team from the department. I think I've lost a lot in terms of engagement and the reports. If the questions that I'm going to be asked are already answered, I think I'll get it from the minutes and the report after the meeting. Chairperson, I just want to check, there are just two things that are concerning me a little bit. It's issues related to internal audit. How helpful is our internal audit in picking, you know, where we are overheating even before the AG can see that, so that when the AG engages with the department, everything will, I mean, we all know what the responsibilities of internal audits are. How helpful is ours in performing what they are supposed, what they are meant to perform? My other question, if it's not answered already, will be issues related to risk management. Because internal audit, working closer with risk management, you actually stand a chance of not having the challenges that you may face as you go on. And that that risk management, usually we appoint people who are ex-policemen and women to head those divisions. I think it's much more deeper than, we need people who have done the risk management to be able to help us with mitigating strategies against, against whatever, against whatever mishaps that happens in department. I just want to check how far we in getting professional people to do that job. Thanks, Chairperson.
Member Chabale, if the department wants to answer, they can answer. Otherwise, they can also send the answers of their questions in writing. Is Zodwa?
Chair, we request to include these response on all the ones that we have answered orally, so that then we can put them properly in writing, including the ones that have just been asked by Honorable Member Nchabele. If it is okay with you, ma'am.
Yes, thank you, Zodwa, and thank you for the questions, Member Chabale. The department will answer us in writing. sorry, let me then take the opportunity, members, to thank each and every one of you who attended this meeting, and also to our staff. Thank you, Marcel, and your team. Let me then take the opportunity to thank the department, the agency, and NDA that you for your thorough presentation. And let me then lastly thank the minister for always honoring the invitation to come. Sorry to all. To our committee. Sorry, I've got something in my throat.
Some water, Jefferson.
I just said some minister. Let me then also, minister, thank you for always being available, and no matter what is on your program, you always make time to come to our meetings and just convey our good wishes to the DM. We will keep in our prayers with their help. And then also, Minister, we've got a tough year in front of us, and thank you very much for always going the extra mile for the people of South Africa who is really in need of this assistance. Thank you. Thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Members, we can excuse the department. I don't think, Marcel, we don't have anything to discuss.
No, we have no further issues.
Okay. Just members, we I've asked Marcel to put it on our chat room. There is a presentation that was prepared by our team on the study tour from this committee side. I want to ask members to go through that, and then you can send, I think, just send to Tabile the countries that you think, so that we can then in our next meeting just get a report from Tabile, what was the input from the members. I think that is the only issue, Marcel, that we must discuss.
Yes, Chairperson. Right?
Yeah. So everybody did receive the presentation, and Member Ntshube, China is on there. Just go through the presentation, and then you can just send your input and the presentation to Tabile. You can send it to Tabile or to Marcel.
Okay.
Yeah? And then we can
have okay, Chairperson.
Okay, then we can have a discussion after our next meeting, when Tabile can just give us a proposal that came in from the members. So that is all that we sorry, I had to discuss. And good luck, everybody. We've got the tough 2 weeks in front of us in the NCOP. Thank you very much. Good night. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good night.
Thanks, Chairperson.
Bye.